This is Speaking of Events, the podcast for event industry leaders. We bring together innovators, strategic rock stars, and visionary creatives to talk all about events, industry trends, and anything in between. And speaking of events, here is your host, Harry Garbus.
Words are powerful. I love words. I love words that mean multiple things, which are also, by the way, called homonyms. Did you know that? So for example, the word bark, like you've got a dog barking, you've got tree bark, or even something as simple as the word right, because you can say you're right, as opposed to you're not wrong, or no, don't take a left, take a right. I think words are cool. I could geek out on words. And today I thought, oh, great. We're going to have this like cool theme around the word duo, like duet, like two, because our guest comes from a duo. She's a twin. And then she had a duo. She had twins. And then she's also part of this company that has the word duo in it, which we'll talk about in a second. Here's the thing. I then decided we're not going to do this duo theme as cool and geeky as I think it is, because why? Our guest is a standout, a standalone. She is one in a million in this industry. She is warm. She is smart. She is fun. By the way, her hair looks really great today. And I wanted to throw that out there. I said that before and I'm saying it again. This woman is terrific strategic thinker, problem solver. She understands big picture goals, and she can also write jokes. So I am all in with this guest, and so should you. And the only duo that we're going to mention in this podcast is the company that she works for, which is called Duolingo. Duolingo. Nobody says that, do they? Nobody says Duolingo, do they, Katie? Do they?
Some folks, it depends on who you're listening to, but I have heard even my own coworkers say, it kind of bleeds into itself and they say Duolingo, and it's Duolingo. I'd say Duolingo, yeah.
Yes, I've heard it mostly out in the world as Duolingo, and I'll go over the top and say Duolingo to just hit everybody over the head with a theme that we're not going to do, this duo theme, because today on Speaking of Events, we have the director of global events at Duolingo or Duolingo. Never mind. The one, not duo, and only Katie Rumble. Welcome to Speaking of Events.
Hello. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for having me, Carrie.
You are so welcome. I am thrilled and honored. And your hair does look really good, as discussed. So
so does yours. Don't cut yourself short there. Well.
You did compliment my sweater when we first got on. So thank you. If you're not watching, it's a Fair Isle style, purpley, violet. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So we're going to jump in with questions for Katie. We're excited to talk about the one and only Katie Rumble. She's just one and only. And to start by asking you what we ask most of our guests on Speaking of Events, which is, what is the one thing you wished more people knew about events?
I love this question, because when I try to dive deep and really think about something philosophical or, you know, fascinating, really the one thing I think people need to know about events, and I know it's been said on this podcast before, but it's the complexity that to produce a high quality event, to make an event that is engaging and entertaining, one that brings community and people together. You know, a successful event is one that is not just sort of thrown together last minute. So I think the complexity of an event, what it takes to produce an event, all of the various moving parts, all of the people, you know, I often, even in my own job, because I'm the executive producer, kind of owner of this conference that Duolingo hosts that we will get to discuss in a little bit too, I get a lot of the credit, and I have to constantly be reminding my stakeholders, my teammates, or other people outside of Duolingo even, that it is not me. I am one of many, many, many people that are part of this big project. So the complexity of events is, I think, what people miss out on, that a really, really good event means that a lot of amazing, incredible things are invisible behind the scenes. We're all running around like, if you see, what's that? Oh gosh, I'm going to get it. Like chickens with their heads cut off, or, you know, like ducks. We all look calm on the water, and underneath you see our feet like flapping like crazy. That's hosting events.
Absolutely. Is there a hardest part? Is there a part that you revisit over and over and say, oh, right, this is where the rubber meets the road. I'm throwing out a metaphor.
For me, in producing events that are seen by a global audience, and because Duolingo is a language learning company, we're an educational company, we teach more than language, but because most people know us for our language courses, it would only make sense if our events were available to people in different languages. And so I produce DuoCon, which is a virtual conference these days. People can tune in from anywhere in the world. The idea is that, similar to Duolingo's mission, the event is accessible. Anybody should be able to come, participate, watch, and it's free. So in order for that to be great for everybody, you know, not everybody speaks English as a first or even second language. So in order to have subtitles available for our viewers, or to have segments of the conference in other languages, we need to rely on a team of, like, a localization team that we have in-house that transcribe and translate every single word of our conferences. And in historically, DuoCon has been sometimes over 2 to 3 hours runtime. So it's like 6 weeks of transcription and in translation work, so that we can say, yeah, watch DuoCon tomorrow, and, you know, toggle down and choose your preferred language and subtitles so that you can enjoy the conference just as much as everybody else that is comfortable, you know, learning, listening, reading English. So,
wow, that's incredible. There are a lot of people, there are a lot of ducks underneath you running around yeah, doing a lot of things. What? So you're running, your event is free to attendees. Quite different than a lot of people that we talk to on the podcast, where it is not necessarily all about monetization. It is a part of it. We're trying to get people in the door and engaged, and whether that's partners, whether that's users. So what do you think the biggest difference is if we're promoting, creating an event for an audience who isn't paying versus a paying audience or attendees, I should say?
I mean, registrations, you have to wonder if the typical drop-off rate for registrations is in your 15 to 25%. If people aren't paying, especially if it's a virtual conference, do they feel less inclined to say, ooh, RSVP change, you know, I'm not going to attend, you know? So when we have people register, just to get a feel for how many people we can anticipate showing, and because when people register, we're able to capture that email to send them reminders so that they don't forget to tune in. You know, there's a big difference there. So we can't assume that. I think last year we had 500,000. Let me say, I fluffed that number. It was 493,000 registrations for DuoCon. And, you know, it changes. The live viewership was definitely not that many. I would have loved it if we had that many people tune in live. But yeah, I think there's a big difference between events that are paid for and events that are free, but very similar to Duolingo's mission, or really exactly like Duolingo's mission. We want to provide high quality entertainment, education, access to people for free. And we had brainstormed, and I've been part of many meetings with our CEO and senior leadership, where we have thought of the future of DuoCon and what originally started as a very small in-person experiment in 2019, pivoted, of course, like everybody did in 2020, to something virtual. But then we realized that, you know, when you host an event in person, because we had thought maybe by 2021, we'd be back in person. When you host an event in person,
you're so naive, Katie.
Yeah. Well, and the logistics of hosting an in-person event are totally different. And there's this misconception that a virtual event is going to be cheaper. Not necessarily, not if you want it produced well, but most of your budget will be spent on those in-person components, making sure there's coffee, making sure the bathrooms are tidy, making sure the lines aren't long, making sure there's food. And so suddenly it dawned on me when I was presenting the idea of maybe a hybrid conference was that didn't make sense with the company mission. Like we would host, let's say a few thousand people at a venue in New York City and they would come and participate and we could charge a ticket fee and we'd even reimburse them by giving them Duolingo Plus as a thank you for attending, something fun. But the viewing experience for people in Sri Lanka, people in Ecuador, people all over the world wouldn't be as good as the experience of the very few people that were able to attend the event in person. They would only have a bird's eye view. And so it didn't feel fair. It didn't feel accessible. And so we thought, let's spend all of our money on making this a virtual event. And we're going to keep it free because that's just what's going to work best for keeping aligned with Duolingo's mission. So, yeah.
Wow. That was a big, I think, eye-opener for a lot of attendees and event professionals to say, all of a sudden say, oh, wow, we can get this information and this mission out to so many more people if we're doing a virtual or even a hybrid event.
Exactly. In fact, I mean, now that I didn't even touch on this already, but the reason that we have stayed virtual is because you're right. We had thought, gosh, the first year we did DuoCon in 2019, we had a few hundred people attend. It was just an experiment. And we thought there's magic here. There's something here. We know we could have a big multi-thousand person event. But then when we had to, thanks to the sort of silver lining of the pandemic, we had to pivot and host the event virtually. I just sort of was thinking of metrics and thinking of KPIs for myself. And I thought, what would be a really great number? If we thought we could get a couple thousand people in a space in Brooklyn, wouldn't 10,000 live viewers be incredible? We had over 120,000 people tune in. So it doesn't make sense for us ever to remove the virtual component. The virtual component is now the event. Like that is how we reach the most people.
In 2021, you had 100,000-ish people. And in 2022, you had almost 500,000.
We didn't have 500,000 people watch the day of the broadcast. So what we do is we pre-produce the event, we tease it, we talk about it through all like emails and social accounts. And we haven't done a ton of marketing of this event. That will change this year. But yeah, we had 500,000 registrations and typically what we've seen, and it's been about the same over the last 2 years. So this year I'm working to amp it up a little bit or ramp it up. But yeah, we've had, it's somewhere in the range of 120,000 views day of the broadcast. And then those views, because we keep the conference footage online on our YouTube channel, on Duolingo's YouTube channel, we continue to collect somewhere in the realm of like 11 to 15,000 views a day for about a month. And so I haven't looked in a couple of months. The last DuoCon 2022 was in September. And I believe we're probably in about 600,000 to 700,000 views now.
Oh, no doubt. No, that's incredible. Congratulations.
It's crazy to think of.
And then when is the next one? Do you have the date of when that's happening? And are you allowed to tell us?
I don't know that I'll share the exact date because I'm still shifting it ever so slightly.
Okay.
But it will be before mid-October. So in October, the month of October, but I would say before the middle of the month.
Before Halloween.
Yes.
And okay, great. That is fair. That's fair. Absolutely. And are you with your current role? So DuoCon's the big thing. Are you supporting other live events? Are there other things happening within your role?
Yeah, so I live under the umbrella that's the general marketing team. So I provide a lot of support. I've written playbooks for various other in-person events for our country market managers. But really, this role of producing this large annual event, it has kind of enveloped all of my other work. So I primarily focus on this, which is funny because some folks and I internally joke that my title is Director of Global Events with an S. And it really kind of feels more appropriate to say I'm the Director of Global Event. but I'm going to keep that S in there. I think it's a little fancier. But yeah, for now, the primary focus is DuoCon because it's such a big lift.
Wow. Yes. I bet. It's you live, sleep, breathe it and will be until an undisclosed date in mid-October, which we're excited to hear more about. I do want to, well, anything more about DuoCon you want to share?
Yeah, I guess I didn't kind of explain what it was. So it's a dual event, right? But we consider it, it's an annual global event hosted by our company, Duolingo. We call it a learner event. So people that use Duolingo or any of our products are our learners. And essentially it's an event that intersects language, learning, and technology. So we believe that accessibility and education can change attitudes, lives, ultimately the world. So people that tune into DuoCon get to hear outside perspectives. We've had participants like linguistics professors. We've had celebrities that are multilingual, multicultural, have a varied kind of, you know, unique background. Celebrities that are fans of Duolingo have participated. So we have, you know, high caliber, top tier external speakers. And then internally, we have a keynote from our CEO, and we also announce new products and features. So last year is a good example. At DuoCon 2022, we announced that Duolingo was expanding. And we have Duolingo ABC, which is a literacy app. It's a whole separate standalone app for children to learn to read. And we also launched Duolingo Math, which is a standalone math app. So if people check out DuoCon, we have huge announcements this October, but effectively it's a large scale event for people that are fanatical about language learning, tech, ed tech, and they can tune in and catch talks from Trevor Noah, was a past participant, Patton Oswalt, Sola El Whaley, who's a celebrity chef, lots of really interesting people.
Wow. And it's funny, Duolingo is so, I don't talk to many people who don't know what it is. I think that it's very much within our common vernacular, talking about words a little bit. Right before we got on, I had a meeting, and I'm in my home studio, and I have a PowerPoint slide of the Speaking of Events logo. So not my company's logo, but I'm Speaking of Events logo behind me. And they said, oh, what is that? And I said, oh, I have a podcast. And I said, oh, and the next person I'm interviewing is the director of global events at Duolingo. And the person on the meeting said, oh, that's how I learned Spanish. So I think it's everywhere. And what an honor to be able to support this global, truly global thing that is bettering people's lives. And now to hear, I didn't know there was a math platform. I didn't know that there were other applications other than, yeah, this is how people learn Spanish and many, many other languages.
Yeah, it's a fun company to work for. And I could practically pinch myself every day. It's been nearly 5 years, and we've got great leadership. It's the smartest group of people. I'm always the dumbest person in the room, which is awesome because I get to learn a lot. So yeah, 5 years in and I'm still being challenged and learning, and it's just great. And it's fun to work for a company when you say the company name and everybody says, oh, I love Duolingo. And I'm like, me too.
Right. That was my next question of like, what's the thing that people say when you're like, oh, I work for Duolingo. And they're like, is it always like, oh, I love Duolingo. Yeah.
Yeah. Or I'm like inadvertently reminding them to do a lesson. Like I'll say, I work for Duolingo, and they're like, oh no, I've got to do my Spanish lesson.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Well, you know what I do on my day job, which is I have this speaker training company. And so I love to talk about speakers and multi or single language speakers. So do you have any speaker disaster stories you could share?
So hiring top tier talent is scary. What I have learned the hard way is it doesn't matter how cool your company is. It may be the case that X celebrity uses Duolingo, but when you hire a celebrity, you have to get through various barriers. There's agencies protecting these celebrities, and the agency gets a cut. So they are determined to get the highest amount of money for these celebrities. And so you would think, gosh, if I could just like DM Trevor Noah on Twitter and say, I know you use Duolingo. We adore you. You've talked about us on The Daily Show. You've talked about us in your stand-up routine on Netflix. Why don't we do something together? And he would say, this is the dream, right? Ah, you're right. I love Duolingo. Let me do it for free. Or how about I charge you just a little bit, but I'll donate it to my charity. You know, all these things, these scenarios you dream up in your head when you don't know any better. because this was me a couple of years ago before we'd ever worked with anybody as well-known as Trevor. And then the agencies come in and they play hardball. And it's really tricky. So it's super stressful working with celebrity talent because you're just talking with the agency all the way up until they transfer you over to this person's actual management, the people that like run his daily calendar, the people that get coffee from, people that have actually been to his house. It's entirely likely that people at the agency have like never even met this person. So
right.
Securing Trevor Noah was pretty tricky. It worked out. He was absolutely lovely. He's more handsome in person. It's hard to believe. And yeah, I'm trying to think of what other things are complex, but like securing that, it's just so much back and forth, so much legalese, right? You have to have a lot of lawyers involved because there's so many like little nitpicky things that have to be lined up. So I'm trying to think, but I think what you're touching on too is some of the big gaffes or like scary things that have happened. Yes. And there was one participant at DuoCon. I won't say what year, I won't say the person's name, but it wouldn't take a lot to find out. but trying to backtrack and think of the specifics, we had been talking to this person and their management for a couple of weeks, and they were very excited to work with us at DuoCon. I was so excited because that was exactly the kind of reaction we wanted to hear. And we talked about writing together, like writing jokes and having them kind of like performed at DuoCon. And we had to actually change production dates and finish filming all of the DuoCon segments for this person so that they could view all of the segments and write some jokes. And we were so grateful for that because we thought, wow, this person's so invested, they're actually going to watch the conference. That means a lot to us. And so we like shift up the production schedule by a couple of weeks. We deliver all of the footage to this person and their team to write some jokes. And then it's not Trevor Noah, by the way. Trevor Noah was a doll. And to write some jokes. And then we crickets. We hear nothing. We don't get to review anything. And then the night before we go to film in LA, my whole team flies from all over the country. I'm in Seattle, some are in Portland, some are in Pittsburgh. We fly to LA, we set up in this awesome theater, and we're going to film this segment. And we still haven't seen this script. And so I finally get it at like 7 a.m. the morning we're filming. And some of the jokes were just like not okay. And what I mean is they weren't not funny. They were inappropriate, especially for our audience. And so I had to just like erase those and then immediately think of filler. And I thought, okay, I'm just going to like type in like this ugly blue font and create some jokes here and then their filler. And then when this person shows up, we'll let them know that everything in blue is what I wrote and that they could rewrite and totally just tear it apart. But we just couldn't go with the previous jokes. And the person performed them and said, no, these are great. So they stayed in and I wrote jokes for a very famous comedian.
Or somebody undisclosed. I know who it is. Okay. So, right. Which is why, anybody have anything crazy in a writer, like in their contract? Like, did you have to like get, you know, like green teddy bears in a dressing room or kale, organic kale salad, anything like that?
Fortunately, no, but we did get, you know, we typically would like, if you show up to set, especially for, so Luis Vonon, our co-founder and CEO, he interviews one top tier person every DuoCon. And so there was one DuoCon where the person coming to speak with Luis, you know, we like to prep everybody. And Luis, by the way, was flying from Pittsburgh to this location. So our CEO was coming on site from another state to film with this person. And so we gave them the schedule and we asked them to be there like 30 minutes before we film, which is not unreasonable because we wanted to do hair and makeup. We wanted to make sure they had a snack, that they had water in case there was traffic. And their management said, no, he will be there 5 minutes before. And as soon as this person enters the room, cameras roll. And we were like, what? So we had our CEO just sitting, twiddling his thumbs for like an hour waiting for this person to show up. And they were not late. They were on time. But that was exactly what happened. They walked in and they were like, let's go, roll the cameras. And it was very intimidating for my team because, you know, usually there's like introductions and hellos. This person just wanted to sit down and go.
All business. If you had a crazy writer, if you were able to write something in for yourself into a contract, what would it be? If I was hiring Katie Rumbaugh, they were like, no, you have to do this thing. what would it be?
Oh gosh. I mean, oh, I love like a massage. So like maybe like, and it doesn't have to even be a person, like maybe one of those funny little machines for like a foot massage or a foot soak. I'd like that.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. I want flavored creamers for my coffee.
Yeah. Just to pick and choose.
Just, yes. Just, I just want to pick and choose a whole buffet.
Could you imagine? I love that.
All right. So talking about flavored creamers, it has nothing to do. Your previous organization was not flavored creamers. However, it was rum. It was awesome. And so how did we get from rum to Duolingo? Or how did we get from before rum to events? Why did you get here? Yes. How did we get to rum?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's kind of all connected, but my first job out of college, I moved from the San Francisco Bay Area to Seattle because this is laughable now, but it was less expensive to live here.
That is hilarious. Twin, yes.
Right. As a twin who shared a room and a gal that went to college and had roommates, I was like, I got to be on my own. I'm a grown up now. And so I had to find a place that I could live like and rent my own apartment all by myself, which is like still not doable in San Francisco. So I moved up here to Seattle and I found a really fun game or fun job working for a board game manufacturer. And this manufacturer they were a subsidiary of Hasbro and we sold games all over primarily Latin America. So this job I landed because I speak Spanish. So I grew up speaking Spanish, traveling, living in Mexico, went to college in Mexico for a while. And so my leg up moving farther away from the Mexican border where I was in the Bay Area was that there are not a lot of people up here in Washington, or at least at the time, that were taking bilingual jobs. And so I got this job because I was an account manager for like 18 different countries in Latin America. And so I sold board games, but the company itself was actually of Brazilian origin. So I didn't speak Portuguese, but a lot of my coworkers did. So this sort of just like brought in some new awareness and interest in wanting to learn a little bit of Portuguese on top of the Spanish. That job worked its course and I went on to do other things. I ended up working at Yelp as the director of marketing and community for a number of years. And that was really fun. And I found myself then producing and hosting events, running social accounts, writing newsletters and doing copywriting. And that was a huge job. And that led me to the liquor industry because I was so close to restaurant owners, bar owners, folks that worked for liquor companies. And that's also how I met my now husband, who owned a bar at the time. And he and I just were fanatical about the spirits world. And there was a Brazilian company that produces a rum, which in Brazil they call cachaça. It's a little different than almost all rums. There's something different and I can get into that, but that's not what this podcast is about. But
sad. I'm going to change it.
this Brazilian company hit me up and they said, we'd love for you to work with us. The founder of the company lives in Seattle. So he was familiar with all of the Yelp events and things I had sponsored. And this company had even sponsored a number of events. And so that was a really easy transition. I was like, oh yes, another Brazilian company. I get to continue working on learning Portuguese. I got to go to Brazil. I got to see the distillery, learn all about how the cachaça was made, learn how to make cocktails. It was very, very fun for a very short period because this was also overlapping when I got married and when my husband and I were planning to have a family. And spoiler alert, being pregnant and working for a liquor company is not fun because I was hosting events. You know, you have a 9-to-5 job and then you go host events in the evening and people are looking at you wondering why you're not drinking.
Like, why are you not drinking? Right.
Yeah. And it just didn't. And I also just didn't want to be out till midnight anymore, especially after having a full job. So that just led me to keep my eyes peeled and just be listening out for other opportunities. And a former colleague of mine had moved over to Duolingo and I was like, stop. Duolingo has offices in Seattle. I have to work for this company. I speak Spanish. I know Portuguese. You know, I was just like very excited because I'm a big language nerd. And long story short, it all worked out. And now I work at Duolingo.
Wow. I love it. Are you still drinking rum or no? Are we off rum?
Since having kids, the amount of spirits, wine, anything I consume is down like 90%. I only drink like one drink a week now. So I've shifted back to lower ABV. Like rum, I don't feel well the next day. I'm too old now. I'm too old.
Yeah. Oh, oh sure. So old. What is it? What's the Brazilian drink? It's that, is it? I'm going to have a terrible accent. The Capri, Cap.
You're almost there.
Capriana? Capriana.
Caipirinha.
Oh yeah. That's, I like that one. Okay. We're going to, I know Portuguese or Spanish for me. Okay. Awesome. Well, we got here. We got from Yelp to rum to, we got you out of your bedroom with your sister all the way to Duolingo. So life's good, right? You're not drinking a lot. Congratulations. Yeah. You've got a full house with twins and this awesome job supporting this massive event. And so what's keeping you up at night? What's churning in there?
Yeah, I think it's the future of this conference. I think it's finding ways to make it more accessible than it already is. And even though I think this year's the year, we're very close to securing probably the most well-known speakers, participants we've ever had. And I'm so proud to tell you this too, that one of them approached me and wants to be part of DuoCon. Like, no joke, one of the most famous people, I think, on planet Earth. And so I'm very excited for this year. But what's keeping me up at night is how to pull it all together. Like, how to make sure that what I'm envisioning in my head is what the world wants to see in October, and that they're happy with it, and that it feels, you know, like it all makes sense. And also that, you know, with the way Duolingo as a company works and the way DuoCon works, we're sort of trying to merge, because the way our product teams work is if the product isn't ready, stall, like delay, don't release anything unless it's great. But DuoCon, the date, once we've established it, it doesn't move. So I'm working with all these product teams saying, hey, if we have that big announcement that you're going to give at DuoCon this year, your product needs to be ready to go. And there's no like if, ands, or buts. It has to be done. Like, it has to be done. So it's also chasing those product teams around. So what's keeping me up at night is production. Like, we're already running at a sprinting pace.
So excited. I can't wait. Congratulations. We'll see. Can't wait to hear about any big announcements coming down the pike, probably a while from now. I'll keep my ear to the ground. Yeah, how exciting.
Thank you so much.
Ooh. All right. Katie, are you ready for the lightning express round?
I am.
All right. We've got 7 questions and 45 seconds on the clock, but there's no clock. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Number one, what is your favorite moment in the event process?
I love being on set, filming, being with all my team.
Who do you consider your mentor?
Ooh, I've got two. A former colleague and manager of mine, Laura Nessler. She's amazing. She is the VP of community now at Reddit. We've worked together at 2 companies. She's just a powerhouse. And then Luis Van Aan, the co-founder of Duolingo. So lucky. He's amazing. And I love working with him.
And just for no reason whatsoever, not that we told a story about him or anything, but what is your favorite Patton Oswalt movie?
Ooh, my favorite Patton Oswalt movie. You know, I want to say I love Patton Oswalt because his first appearance, if I'm not wrong, was on an episode of Seinfeld, a very good episode. I'm a big nerd. I love Seinfeld. I know it's getting dated and hasn't even been on air for decades. But other than that, I guess Ratatouille, because I got kids.
Yeah, mine is Ratatouille too. I was thinking about that this morning and I was like, oh yeah, it's definitely Ratatouille. Okay, what do you do every day to stay healthy and sane?
Ooh, I make sure to take all the medication I'm supposed to take, including vitamins. And I try to go for a walk.
Oh, nice. And if you weren't talking to me right now, what would you be doing?
I would not be at my home office, but I'd be at Duolingo's office, probably getting a coffee with a bunch of different creamer flavors.
Oh, now you're just making me jealous. And I'm really grateful. You stayed home just for this. Thank you very much.
Okay. Yeah, well, it's quieter.
Okay, yes, absolutely. And would you kindly say, speaking of events in Spanish?
Hablando de eventos.
Yes. Oh, I love it. And final question, Katie Rumble, what is the best way to take care of an event professional?
Ooh. I mean, I'm thinking of how my husband does it. like how he takes care of me. Yes. And it's being thoughtful. It's like paying close attention to stress levels, and he will treat me to things without even me noticing, like, or I notice eventually when he does the treat, but I don't notice how stressed I am until he comes to me and he says, I've ordered dinner. Don't think about it. Like, just sit down, have some wine. So yeah, just pay close attention to how people are doing. And if they're stressed out, talk to them about it.
That is great. Just great world advice. Right. Thank you. Oh, you did it. You did it, Katie. You lived through our Lightning Express round. Thank you so much. You lived. You did it. You got through this episode. Katie, where can people, if they'd like to connect you with you, where can they find you?
You can definitely find me on LinkedIn.
Yes.
I am also on Instagram. And I'm a lurker, but I'm an old lady on TikTok. TikTok is where it's at right now.
Really? Yeah. Ooh, all right. You heard it here first. TikTok is where it's at. All right. Well, thank you so much. Any final fabulous parting, or in Spanish or English or Portuguese, since you know a few of those, that you would like to share with this audience?
I think all I can say is thank you. So I would say thank you. Gracias. Obrigada.
Yes. And thank you so much. This was really exciting. And I enjoyed the conversation and hearing about your big events and everything that you've got going on. This is certainly fun and a huge treat for me. So thank you to Katie Ramdahl of Duolingo, a standalone woman at her own person, director of global events at Duolingo. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was so much fun. I had such a great time.
Excellent. Well, thank you again. Thank you to our audience. If you like events, if you love events, even if you loathe events, and who does, tell someone about this podcast. Please give us 5 stars. Katie is worth like 17 stars. And we're just asking for 5. Yes, exactly. Thank you again, Katie Ramdahl. Really appreciate it. And thank you to everybody. I will see you. No, you'll hear me next time, maybe, if you chime in. And remember, whatever you speak about, keep speaking of events. Say it in Spanish again.
Hablando de eventos.
Yes. Woo. Now we're dual linguistic. Yes, finally. Thank you. Thanks, Katie.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Speaking of Events is sponsored by Ovation, the gold standard for professional presence and speaker development training, helping everyone get prepared, get confident, and get Ovation.